I want to begin once again by wishing you a Happy New Year. One of the things that we can be sure of is that this year will not be like last year, just as no year is ever like the year that has come before it. Yes, the months are the same and the days are the same. Well, most of the time the days are the same. But when you look at your calendar, there will be celebrations and events that take place year after year. And so there are similarities in our year, but they're not the same. They will never be the same one year to the next. Look at birthdays, for example. Each birthday holds new significance. Even though you might have quit celebrating your birthday, it does not mean you quit recognizing them. There are some birthdays that are quite like none others. I remember those that stand out, like turning 5. Because turning 5, I knew then that I would be starting school then, following the path of my older sisters and my older cousins, looking forward to that opportunity. Or turning 16, the opportunity to get a driver's license. Or 18, graduating from high school. 21, to become an adult. Over a period of time, though, some birthdays kind of set a different tone. For example, 40. 40. Some people are troubled by that one. And then there is 60. In 10 days, I will join the 60 club. That doesn't bother me. Nope. You cannot bring me down. I feel healthy. I'm active, quite content with myself. I feel I have things to contribute yet, and that I have some value, at least to some of you. But turning 60, for sure this birthday will be like none other. That I can be assured. As we think of going from year to year, from old to new, I reflect on Jesus. Because from Jesus there is the movement from that which was old to that which is new. There is a departure from any previous understandings. There's added meaning and significance like never before. There are two things that stand out from the gospel that you heard read today. Jesus being referred to as the Lamb of God and the importance of God's Spirit. These old understandings, these old terms, will now be seen like never before. They will now be forever new. When you take the understanding of Lamb of God, it goes back to the time when the Hebrew people were enslaved in Egypt. And we read the account of the Passover event and how the blood of the Passover lamb protected the household of the people of Israel and with that led them to freedom. Led to their exodus into a new age, a new land, a new existence. This Passover event was forever memorialized in the life of the temple. Every morning, every evening, a lamb was sacrificed. Blood was shed upon the altar, and the people remembered their deliverance and the hope that God had given them. A young woman was to be married. And so there was a bridal party that was held. Now, this young woman had lived in various places, and so she had accumulated friends from different parts of the country, and they came to this one place. And so there was the need to introduce one another. And so they kind of went around the room, and the first young woman said that what her name was, and then was asked, well, how did you meet the bride-to-be? And she said, I dated her brother. The second young woman introduced herself as well, and she said, I also met her because I dated her brother. A third young woman introduced herself and says, well, I met her because I'm now dating her brother. The next person introduced herself was a little bit older and perhaps a little bit wiser. And she said to the group, well, I've never met any of you, and I'm glad to meet you, but I'd rather meet her brother. As we read of Jesus in the Gospel, we meet God in a new way, like never before. And so we hear of this Lamb of God. It is not looking back, however, but rather it's reflecting on the blood and the sacrifice that will lead to freedom and deliverance. Not looking at what had taken place in the past, but what will take place. John the Baptist was the son of a priest and well understood the role of the temple. But John would tell the people, you will not find your salvation there. But now, one's salvation is found in Jesus. Through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus is the one who will deliver from sin and give you freedom and new life and new hope. There's also a new understanding of the role of the Spirit. The Jewish idea of the Spirit held the concept of an all-encompassing wind. And with that wind came power. The Spirit was God, bringing life, the power to create. And at the baptism of Jesus, we are told that the Spirit came down upon Jesus. And John witnesses that the Spirit remained on Him. Not for just a moment. It did not come and then go. But it took up a permanent place. And Jesus, too, held that creative power, that life-giving power. Jesus shares that which is new. A new age and a new time, like never before. We are told about how a couple of the disciples of John followed Jesus at a distance. And Jesus turned to speak to them. Jesus turned and recognized their presence. He addressed them. He takes the initiative to meet them. Augustine wrote that we would never have begun to seek God unless God had already found us. And so we recognize in Jesus how God has found us. God knows us. And Jesus asked them just this wonderful question. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Because you will not find what you're looking for in the old ways. You will not find what you're looking for in a new legalism or a new nationalism. You will not find it in seeking human satisfaction, your own ambition, or your own success. You will not find it carrying your own agendas. But rather, Jesus tells them, come and see. Come and see. Now, there's a story about a young couple who had been dating for a long period of time. And I know when I begin stories, some of you might think, okay, where is he going to go with this? And I like to share stories that I think are somewhat humorous. You don't always agree. That's half the fun, really. But one of the wonderful things about stories is that you don't know where it's going to go. So there's a story about this young couple who had been dating for a period of time, and they decided they would go and visit his family. So they purchased their airline tickets and made all the arrangements, and the day came where they then were to leave, and they went to the airport, and they were going through that security stuff that we all go through these days. And as he walked through the security, the beeper alarm thing went off. So he's told to take whatever he had out of his pocket, so he took out his keys, and he put them down. He walked through it, and the alarm thing goes off again. He goes back out, and he takes off his watch and walks through it again, and beeper alarm goes off. And he takes off his belt buckle and walks through it again. It still goes off. So he's asked, are you sure you have everything out of your pockets? And with a great sigh, he recognizes he's in a predicament. Because out of his pocket, he pulls a velvet-covered metal jewelry box. And so, under the circumstances, he makes the best of it as he can. And he opens it, and he kneels down. And there in the middle of the security area and all the people waiting, he proposes. And she accepts. Jesus invites us to come and see. Sometimes when we think of Jesus, we think we know what we're going to find. But to come and see means to come with an open mind. And with that invitation, we become part of the story. And we come to find what Jesus and Jesus alone can open up for us in a new way. Because with Jesus, we move from the old to all the new possibilities.